Welcome to News 18 podcast. I'm sure all of you are aware of the recent controversy surrounding marital rape and how the Indian government has said that the government cannot make marital rape a criminal offense because we can't follow Western nations blindly. To talk more on this, we have Aishwarya Kumar, one of our colleagues at news18.com, to tell us what is exactly marital rape. And how does it plague our Indian society at the moment?
Thanks, Devayan. So, marital rape refers to unwanted intercourse by a man with his wife, which is obtained by force, threat of force, or physical violence. It can also be put in a bracket where she's unable to give consent in that sense. And marital rape could be the use of force only, a battering rape, or, you know, a sadistic, obsessive rape. And of course, by whatever I said so far, I'm sure you guys must have figured out that it is indeed a non-consensual act of violent perversion by a husband against his wife, where she is physically and sexually abused. Now, coming down to the controversy surrounding it, shockingly, the center, a week after it justified its stand on the right to privacy judgment given out by the Supreme Court, held earlier this week that criminalizing marital rape, and I quote, may destabilize the institution of marriage and would become an easy tool for harassing husbands, a position which has outrightly been slammed as retrograde by rights activists. Just as a piece of information, Governor Swaraj, who is the husband of our External Affairs Minister, Sushma Swaraj, noted that there will be more husbands in jails rather than at homes if marital rape is criminalized. Of course, the stand by the center received a lot of flack, and responding to a bunch of petitions seeking criminalization of marital rape, the government further said that it actually pointed out to the misuse of Section 498A of the Indian Penal Code, which prescribes punishment for husband for subjecting his wife to cruelty. While all of this case is happening, let's just try and draw one very important point here, which is that marital rape, as such, the term, is not defined in any statute or law. Now, the rights activists wanted to be made a criminal offense, saying that forces women to suffer the worst form of sexual violence in their homes. And people at the forefront who I'm sure a lot of women along with me stand for it, to salute the petitioners, NGO RIT Foundation, the All India Democratic Women's Association, and a very strong lady, a marital rape victim. They have all challenged this as unconstitutional and an exception to Section 375 of the IPC. And 367B. Now, I'm unmarried, but I have seen married women. I have seen happy marriages. I have seen unhappy marriages. And the role of the wife in either sense is primarily defined by how the male of the household sees it. Now, without taking very personal examples, in a very general sense, the wife's role has traditionally been understood as submissive and that of a homemaker. Now, this is not me drawing conclusions out of nowhere, but if you can just go through a couple of people who've been posting stuff on social media, especially on Twitter, you can figure out how men treat sex in a marriage as an obligation and also as a taboo. Well, there are men who openly say that why should the husband not have sex with his wife on a daily basis, Because if he doesn't have sex with her, then he'll have to wander out and venture out and find himself another woman, which again will be slammed by the lady of the house. This is what a lot of men have to say about why marital rape should not be criminalized. Which is where this judgment, this decision, this case in the court holds importance, because men like these need to be taught what it means to be raped in that sense, and to tell them that marital rape is just as bad as being subjected to forceful intercourse anywhere in the world. Economic independence in that sense is a dream for many Indian women, and it is undeniably an important factor for being heard and respected. With women being fed the bitter medicine of being good wives, to quietly serve and not wash the dirty linen of the house in public, counseling to those women also remains inaccessible. Now, what are the effects that a rape victim may have to live with? I'm not saying marital rape, I'm not saying rape otherwise. Rape is a rape. So let's look at the effects that a rape victim may have to live with. The majority of women who are raped have to live with anxiety, shock, depression, and suicidal thoughts. Physical injuries to the vaginal and anal areas are just something that obviously happened because of forceful intercourse, and women and men should not be okay with that. Long-term symptoms, however, may include insomnia, eating disorders, sexual dysfunction, and a negative self-image. Yet again, bringing down the morale of the woman altogether. How this judgment pans out will decide and completely bring a new meaning to the institution of marriage as such in India, where, as I said earlier, that the role of the wife is often considered to be a docile one. And it's important because the myth of the wifely duty and the conjugal right must end, because marital sex, as all sex, must be with mutual consent.
Thank you so much, Aishwarya, for talking to us and letting us know these important facts about marital rape. We'll be back again, and don't forget to log on to news18.com for more podcasts.